mente en su instinto, pero yo tengo claro que esta mierda es más grande que
no el forma de que cambie, no forma de que vaya. Hey, me mantendré constante, pase lo que me pase. Hey, toda mi vida perdido buscando una solución hasta que por fin ya le encontré una razón. Toda mi vida perdido buscando una solución hasta que por fin yo le encontré una razón. Ya, ya. Yeah. One, two, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Inesperado paso a paso, cuando menos lo pensé, pensé que me iba a otro rumbo, rumbo donde terminé. Mis herramientas son el lápiz, también como el papel, papel a cual yo redacto melancolías del ayer. Está presente el hip hop latino aquí en Nueva York, porque no sería conversación a todos aquellos que pensaron que aquí no había un movimiento. Bueno, les presento y viene que hablo. Cuando me cambie, no forma de que pare. Hey, me mantendré constante, pase lo que me pase. Hey, toda mi vida perdido buscando una solución hasta que por fin ya le encontré una razón. Toda mi vida perdido buscando una solución hasta que por fin yo le encontré una razón. Ya, yeah, ya. Yeah. Y NK. Comunes no son las ideas. Ideas no comunes.
Abortion rights are in a state of emergency. Clinics are being shot up, set on fire, and closed down by fascist laws. Women are being shamed, hounded, and harassed for exercising their right to abortion or even birth control. This must be stopped. Forced motherhood is female enslavement. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I am calling on you to join me by getting on the bus January 22nd and heading down to D.C. to stand up for abortion rights on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Go to stoppatriarchy.org for more details and bus information. Be part of defeating the war on women.
Welcome to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Paulette Spencer, and I'm here with
Catherine Davis.
And tonight we are going to sort of, talk about things that have happened in the world and hopefully enjoy some really wonderful, socially conscious music. We've just had a very nice experience with Catherine providing very important and soothing meditation services downstairs at the Commons here at WBAI. It's a lovely verse of under terms of her qigong meditation. It was quite special.
Well, that's so lovely. Thank you very much. I hope I don't tick too much. Let's go to our theme. Michelle and Diocello.
Okay.
Thank you. say you're my earth.
My earth.
You're my earth.
You're my earth.
Sweet paradise. I say you're my earth. There's no place I'd rather be. Black orchids bloom,
orchids bloom.
My soul was fed by you,
fed by you.
And warmer than birth, than death. It's back to dirt, home to me. You're my earth in paradise. I say you're.
Of course, that was our theme, Earth, by Michelle Indiocello. And we're going to play a little bit more music for you. And I have to tell you, I have totally fallen in love with the David Bowie song, Wild is the Wind. So I'm going to play that again, okay. I think.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it epitomizes, well, everything to me feels like a spiritual song, but to me that's what it's like. It's like the higher self and the embodied self.
Love me, love me, love me, love me, say. love is like the wind, and wild is the wind, wild is the wind. Give me more than one caress. Satisfy this hungriness. Let the wind blow through your heart. Oh, wild is the wind. Wild is the wind.
And that was my new favorite song, Wild is the Wind by David Bowie. And it is from an album called Station to Station. But of course, David Bowie is not the author of this song. He just sang it. And Max was here a moment ago and told us, but I forgot. I forgot who it was. But we're going to look that up, and we'll let you know who is the author of this beautiful song, Wild is the Wind. I do like the interpretation by David Bowie. You know, it's so interesting to listen to an artist who is so unique and has that something that's very definitive, very different. They come and they have this presence and they go and it's never to be seen again. Bowie is one of those artists.
Yes.
Gratefully, the next artist I'm going to play is still alive and well and living on the planet. I thought maybe a little Prince.
Cool.
Since you, Paulette, has brought this music in for us to play, I love this album, Purple Rain. So let's play a little from Purple Rain, When Doves Cry.
My
And that was Prince, When Doves Cry. I remember that movie, Purple Rain. I loved it. I think I must have actually paid to see that movie half a dozen times. I was so in love with that movie.
Oh,
well, maybe not the movie. Maybe it was Prince. I don't know. But I did see it quite a number of times. And I just loved that movie, Purple Rain. And this is a great genius. Okay, we have to pay Michael Jackson.
That's right.
So we're going to go to Michael Jackson, Human Nature, from his Thriller album. Now, this is also a talk show. We don't always play music, but, you know, we did a program today, so we're taking it easy a little bit. But we're always here for you if you want to make that phone call. The number is 718-780-8888. That is a lot of eights. And you know, the eight is the infinity sign, so it means it lasts. That means eternity, the infinity. Anyway, the number here is 718-780-8888. And we will entertain your thoughts and considerations and questions. Otherwise, we'll enjoy the muse of the moment and play a little bit more music for you. So let's go to Michael Jackson.
Why?
And our number here is 718-780-8888, should you want to call and interact with us. And we're going to play a little bit more music because it seems to be the inspiration of the moment. And we're going to, we got a call from Florida wanting to know about the music played during the Rebel Diaz radio show. So we're going to play one of their pieces, and it is called Troy Davis Lives Forever. And that's the name of it, right? And it's from Rebel Diaz, An Agent of Change. So we hope you do enjoy that. We'll be back in a moment.
Another lynching has gone down in the U.S. And it's 2011. Nothing has changed.
What up, Troy? I can't believe you actually did it, man. To tell the truth, they ain't never gonna kill you, man. You live forever in the hearts of those that fought for you. You fought for us, you gave us strength like a true soldier.
I feel the pain, I feel the anger and the race to show it. I hit the streets and spread the word till the world knows it. I'm sorry we ain't saved you, should've been braver. But at times I feel alone when I'm surrounded by these strangers. 2009, we first spoke after I met Martina. I got the shirt, but since then I haven't really seen her. Been on the road with these raps, just trying to spread a message. But when I think about our talks, they were such a blessing. You was in jail reading your poems on the phone, and all I did was just listen backstage at the show. Then I heard the crazy news about a week ago, that the date had been set and they wanted you to go. 11:08 p.m. September 21st. Never forget, my inner being still hurts. Obama stayed quiet like he did for Oscar Grant. Clarence Thomas, bitch ass, never gave you a chance. See, you was innocent, there was too much doubt. 7 of 9 witnesses wanted their testimony out. They were scared, police threats serious like cancer. But you know it wasn't true, years later they recanted. I wish I had the answer, what to do next. Gotta do more than tweet, Facebook and send texts. We need freedom, Uhuru organized like Zulu. Feel the pain of injustice even though I never knew you. What up, Troy? I can't believe they actually did it, man. To tell the truth, they ain't never gonna kill you, man. You live forever in the hearts of those that fought for you. You fought for us, you gave us strength like a true soldier. What up, Troy? I can't believe they actually did it, man. To tell the truth, they ain't never gonna kill you, man. You live forever in the hearts of those that fought for you. Yeah. You fought for us, you gave us strength like a true soldier.
They still lynching from plantations to the prisons. Methods change, but it's the same system. White robes used to burn a crucifix. Now black robes signing death sentence. Instead of Jim Crow and legal segregation, it's yuppie condos and cuts to education. And I ain't gotta say it, Troy, you said it in your last letter, thanking your supporters worldwide for their past efforts. More than 500,000 signed them petitions. The Pope, the Archbishop, stars and politicians. A who's who on Twitter weighing in like Mayweather. But what happens tomorrow after the storm let up? New day, pray you in a better place. Over here we coping, trying to channel that rage. To abolish these legal lynchings, abolish their broken system, abolish the need for prisons and defense of the human spirit.
What's up, Troy? I can't believe they actually did it, man. To tell the truth, they ain't never gonna kill you, man. You live forever in the hearts of those that fought for you. You fought for us, you gave us strength like a true soldier. What up, Troy? I can't believe they actually did it, man. To tell the truth, they ain't never gonna kill you, man. You live forever in the hearts of those that fought for you. You fought for us, you gave us strength like a true soldier. Like a true soldier. Troy Davis, rest in power.
And that was Troy Davis Lives Forever by Rebel Diaz, An Agent of Change. And you can listen to Rebel Diaz Radio every Wednesday from 10 to midnight. And you are tuned right now to Heart of Mind Earth at Midnight with Catherine Davis and Paulette Spencer. And hello, we have a lovely caller. Please tell us again your name, if you'd like, on the air.
My name is Tony, and I'm from Brooklyn.
Welcome, Tony.
Can you hear me well?
We can hear you, yes.
I wanted to say that David Bowie, we all miss, and I was saying about how a lot of our artists are dying, And it seems as though when you collapse the time together, it's you see so many of our artists have died, mm-hmm. So many people that we love. I would like to say that sometimes I guess the artists themselves are not aware that they have fans that really love the work that they've done, whether it's music or whatever it is. But I, for one, myself, I would love to say that Joe Cocker I love, Robert Knight I love, all these different stars. John Lennon, when he was murdered, I was devastated. It took me a while to get over that. So sometimes the artists, they don't realize how much we love them. We love their work, and we're always concerned. I was surprised to know at the time when John Lennon was baking bread and taking care of his kid, I had gotten a lovely apartment that I enjoyed, and I too was baking bread at the same time he was baking bread. I would love to say that I love Jethro Tull, Ian Anderson, and I love his music. Their work lifts us up. It just gives us so much that they'll never realize, as did David Bowie, that his work, it just gives us such joy, and we'll miss them. I never knew that David Bowie smoked, and that was a devastating part for me to know. So I guess our artists, yeah. They do what they do. A lot of these artists, they did smoke. They were, you know, they had substance abuse, as do average people.
I think that's part of the what keeps it all a mystery in a way, is that people, because they have some prominence, whatever that might be, somehow come to believe that they have to hide part of themselves. So if they have a habit, or if they have trouble in relationships, or whatever their natural human struggles might be, they try to hide it in favor of the image of how they're being portrayed by whomever their promoters would be. And I think the real truth of what you're saying, what I'm hearing, is that what we love about these artists goes deeper than the promotion might be. It goes deeper than what their foibles or failures might be, because we recognize that kind of purity in their art, that's such a gift. And I think perhaps if artists could come to the point where they can be fully themselves and not have to worry about their imagery and their marketing and who's approving and who's disapproving, yes. Maybe they'd live a lot longer.
Yes, I think they should know that the fans care about them in such a way that we look at them as though they're average people. And they have a gift, and that we, lots of average people have these habits, but it's just that when they're taken away so soon for one reason or another, whether they're murdered or whether they, have substance abuse, I've watched stars, they go into these, I don't know why also, they go and they get chemo and radiation, they don't try anything else. They try the same thing, and I've watched over the decades that people use the same thing, and they get the same results. They wind up dying, as did Bob Marley, Jerry Garcia. But, you know, not to go into the whole thing, fans care about them, and I thought that they would sort of outlive me, you know. But we care about them, and we want to see them healthy. We respect and love their work and what they do. And they're only human.
Yeah, and but I think that lifestyle is a lot of stress, and I'm sure that adds to it. So, and they never really die. You know, you have to look at it from the perspective of their energy continues, because energy continues. Nobody really. You just leave the body. You don't actually die. Yeah. And. You know, they've left a legacy, and maybe they were ready to move on. You know, sometimes we think that it's a tragedy when people die, but it may be that they're ready to move to the next adventure, because they've already given all they can give to this planet Earth. So maybe they want to live in another dimension, on another planet, come back as a new being. And or maybe they came from the angelic realm and they want to go back to that realm. There are so many possibilities when a person transitions.
Makes sense.
And if we don't think of it in terms of death, and when I look at these artists and how many of them are very fragile because they are so close to the edge of their art, that this world has been just too harsh for some people who are very have a gentle spirit.
I too agree. I'll leave with this.
Yeah.
I too, when I was younger, I tried to commit suicide because I couldn't deal with the harshness of people, people who are racist or just mean or just, you know, arrogant, dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that.
Yeah, and I think that's
out of the world.
Yeah, but see, but the beauty is that these artists came into the world with this gift, with this beauty that we can hold on to and find strength in.
Yes.
And many of these people had long careers. And I really think of it as they came for a purpose, they fulfilled their purpose, and they've moved on to the next thing that they're doing in their life. And we who are here in their wake, so to speak, they're gone, and we listen and enjoy the music. I think it's incumbent upon each of us to find the beauty in us. That's really the message, is to find the beauty in yourself and have the courage to be that.
And they do. I will say they do.
But I'm saying that the same is true for you.
Yes, they have brought out that. But I wanted to say they give us so much joy they'll never know. And it has brought out the beauty in some of us they'll never know. Things that we never knew that we had inside of us. I'd like them to know that.
Well, I'm sure that they do. Thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. That was lovely.
Yes, it was.
So how about, as we look for more music, playing a little Bob Dylan, Shelter from
Storm.
The Storm?
Sure.
And the number here is 718-780-8888. And I feel an interesting conversation brewing about creativity, self-expression, delicate nature, you know, bringing that artistic expression into the world and having to face the energy of the world, which has been quite toxic.
But, yeah.
But it's changing. I believe it's changing.
Yeah, I think it's about spirit, and mm-hmm. I think it's about soul and heart.
Yeah, it is. And WBAI for many is indeed a shelter from the storm.
Indeed.
Twas in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. And if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her, on that I give my word. In a world of steel eyed death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. Not a word was spoke between us, there was little risk involved. It had been left unresolved, a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. I was burned out from exhaustion, buried in the hail, poisoned in the bushes and blown out on the trail. Hunted like a crocodile, ravaged in the corn. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. Suddenly I turned around and she was standing there, with silver bracelets on her wrists and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Now there's a wall between us, something that's been lost. I took too much for granted, I got my signals crossed. Just pretend till it all began on a non-eventful morn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Well, the deputy walks on hard nails and the preacher rides a mount. But nothing really matters much, it's doom alone that counts. And the one-eyed undertaker, he blows a feudal horn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I've heard newborn babies wailing like a moaning dove, and old men with broken teeth stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? Is it hopeless and forlorn? Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. In a little hilltop village, they gambled for my clothes. I bargained for salvation and she gave me a lethal dose. I offered up my innocence, I got repaid with scorn. Come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm. Well, I'm living in a foreign country, but I'm bound to cross the line. Beauty walks a razor's edge, someday I'll make it mine. If I could only turn back the clock to when God and her were born. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm.
That was Bob Dylan's Shelter from the Storm, and you're listening to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine Davis with
Paulette Spencer.
And we are also here with you, and you have an opportunity to join in this dialogue with your phone calls, 718-780-8888. Now, this had to have been a very early Bob Dylan. I'm not sure when it was released, but it was, it had to be an early piece. And beautiful, Shelter from the Storm. I've had that, well, I'd have to say I've been more the shelter than the sheltered in my lifetime, which is interesting because I was listening to the song and he was talking about she offered me sheltered from the storm and then things changed. Well, maybe I took it for granted. I'm like, yeah, you took it for granted. I've been there, done that. So maybe I was listening to the song from the back end instead of the front end of saying, oh, you gave me shelter. Not much. But have I been shelter? Yes, many times.
Both. I've been sheltered and I've been the shelter.
That's good. I'm glad for you. but it's a beautiful song. I really felt that. So we're going to play a little bit more music, but everything I listen to, really, I hear from the perspective of spiritual journey, because to me, my greatest, I would even say lover, is my sort of my higher self, twin flame, spirit is really where my passion and my love is at this time in my life. And it's interesting because it's not a fantasy. It's very tangible. Spirit is very palpable. It's feelable. It's not visible, but it's the same as being present with another person. Just like you can feel someone's energy in the back of your neck if they're staring at you. So spirit is very real, very present, and very palpable. And from my current perspective, that's the purest love I've experienced as a receiver. Not so much as a giver, because I think I receive more than I'm giving in that instance. So it's interesting. But that's just me. So how about a little Michael Frante and Spearhead? Is Love Enough from Yellowfire?
Okay.
We want freedom of speech, we all talking at the same time. We say we want peace, but nobody wants to change their own mind. No, they don't. So it goes on and on and on and on and on. A thousand years, I say, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. What language are your tears? Are your tears? Ba 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 da ba ba da ba 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 da. Everybody wants to live life of kings and queens, but nobody wants to stay and plow the fields. Everybody wants to tell their neighbors how to live, but nobody wants to listen to how they feel. So it goes on and on and on and on and on. For 1,000 years, 1,000 years, I say. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. Your language are your tears, are your tears. But what I got to say right now, love enough, yeah, love enough, yeah, love enough. Or can you love some more? Is the love enough, yeah, love enough, yeah, love enough. Or can you love some more? Is your love enough, yeah, your love enough, yeah. Is your love enough? Or can you love some more? Is your love enough, yeah, your love enough, yeah. Is your love enough? Or tell me, can you love some more? It goes on and on. For 1,000 years, I say, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. What language are your tears? Are your tears, gentlemen?
What Mother Nature gives, mankind refuse to let live, taking the universe in their own hands. Oh yes, now short circuiting the positive, charging the negative, causing the most unusual circumstances. Every day we rise. eyes I came back to love and fight again. Hoping that our hearts will receive our love too.
Oh, yeah.
Blessed words we speak again of the works to do, my friend, for us to live in this garden of Eden.
So tell me, is your love enough?
Yeah.
Your love enough?
Yeah.
Is your love enough? Or can you love some more? Is your love enough?
Yeah.
Your love enough?
Yeah.
Is your love enough? Oh, tell me, tell me, tell me.
I say, what language do you laugh in? What language do you cry in? What language do you dance in? Make romance in? What language do you make love in? Pray to the above him. What language are your fears? What language are your tears?
Believe in coexistence.
You're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, Pacifica Radio Network. The name of the show is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight, with Kathy Davis and Paulette Spencer.
Yes, that is the program you are listening to at this moment, Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. And we're taking a bit of an easy pace this morning. We had a lovely evening with some people for the event Heart of Mind. It was really sweet, so we're taking it easy, but those of you who missed out, be sure to come next month, February, the third Wednesday of the month, and we'll be doing a special event including you and us, and we'll see what happens. We had a lovely healer also with us, Arnold, to help do some healing. We had a nice healing circle. So it was very cool, way cool. And I want to do a big thank you to everyone who participated. And we hope to grow this thing and create a real community of heart. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. And I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly. And looking back down at me, smiling reassuringly. And I dreamed I was flying. And high up above, my eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea. And I dreamed I was flying. Well, we come on the ship they call the Mayflower. We come on the ship that sails the moon. We come in the ages most uncertain hours and sing an American tune. Oh, and it's alright. It's alright, it's alright. You can't be forever. Tomorrow's gonna be another working day. I'm trying to get some rest. That's all I'm trying, get some rest.
And that was Simon and Garfunkel, wasn't that?
Paul Simon.
Paul Simon. Okay. Beautiful piece, and it was called American tune. So we've been looking for a piece of music, trying to find it on the internet. I'm sure it's on the internet, but we haven't been able to make the connection as of yet for the Spirit Family Reunion. But we're going to keep trying. And in the meantime, let's hear a little bit of Queen, A Kind of Magic.
It's a kind of magic, a kind of magic. One dream, one soul, one prize, one gold, one golden glance of what should be. It's a kind of magic, one shaft.
And again, you're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. This is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight, and we want to say hello and welcome to our caller coming in right now. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. The woman that was speaking about the artist not really knowing that how much we appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
And she often repeated it, and it made me feel a feeling of that we do know, because, and that they do know that we appreciate them, because it's this knowingness that in order for them to have this output of this beautiful gift, it has to be someone there to receive it. So they know already that it's being sent out, and that people, it's like raindrops, a beautiful sound coming to our ears. And I think that knowingness, that now when I hear David Bowie singing, I just know he knows. Yeah, and it's such a connection that makes you feel this everlastingness that, and there's no ego in the music, because that's why I think music really humbles us and makes us feel loved, because there is so much of a gift, and that this creativity comes through them, and it just must be so amazing to be able to share it, that they feel that amazement, and then they know that when we're gifted, that we feel the amazement.
Hello?
And I think that, you know, all these artists are
joining the conversation.
They're the ones that really wake up people. And I just appreciate all the music you're playing. And I was hoping you would say some words about how to appreciate, how to like really feel the feelings of Qigong, how to feel the sensation in our senses, because I focus mostly on senses, that are the sense of smell and the sense of sound that you're giving us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just feel like I want to learn how to feel more.
Okay. So we'll weave that into the conversation a bit and So stay tuned and we'll get more into that. And it is true, music is an inspiration to us. And in many ways, it's the easiest way to move into our feeling body. And when I say feeling body, I don't mean emotions. I don't mean like anger's anger or love or bliss or anything. I'm not talking about sort of feeling from the outside, but feeling from the perspective of perceiving with your feelings. So if you're touching a silk, it has a certain feel to it. If you're touching burlap, it has a certain feel to it. And emotions are also like that. Experiences are like that. Some experiences are like silk. Some experiences are like burlap. But they're both nice and worthy sensations. So the objective in feeling and getting in touch with that is to not judge it, not qualify one as better than the other, but allow yourself to sink into the sensation, the expression, as a feeling. And when you open up to being non-judgmental about that, then you can go deeper within yourself because your defenses become softer and you can feel the energy as it flows inside of your body. And that's kind of what Qigong is. And energy work is. It's allowing that capacity to sense, to move from the fingertips into your heart. Mm. Okay. So we'll talk more about it and as we go on, okay? Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye. Okay, let's see. Hopefully we can... yes. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you are live on the air at WBAI.
Let me check my pulse. Or if not, I can fog a mirror so they'll just wait and turn me down. Yes, I indeed am alive. But to, unless I'm living in some Matrix universe that I'm not aware of, as far as I know, I'm still here. So.
You're here, but I mean, I don't want to rock your boat, but you are in the Matrix. I hate to tell you this, but...
Okay, but I
can hear you. I can hear you.
I can touch up on the political tangent with that, but I'm not going to because I know the flavor of this show, so I'm not even going to go there. So.
Okay.
But I appreciate that. So good morning, Kathy and Carlos. Forgive me, I don't know your name.
Paulette.
Hi, Paulette.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm sorry, and I came in late, so forgive me. I just heard the previous caller, the woman speaking of artist feeling appreciated or not. Could you just backtrack it a little bit, give me the short version of how I can sink into that conversation?
Yeah, we were playing music, but kind of reminiscent, not new music.
And we received a call from the caller saying that she was really thinking of all the wonderful artists that have passed on and whether or not they appreciated their value to their fans while they were in the land of the living. And so that was sort of the gist of the conversation. And the last caller was saying that that she feels that they must have or else they wouldn't have this impetus to continue putting out such exquisite work.
Well, that's interesting because I think there's so many variables that can play into and off of that, and I think the answer is so varied for different artists and for different people. And I think there are, Bowie gives me the impression of someone who wasn't of necessity needing that kind of approbation. He was a person who put out very eclectic stuff that happened to be commercial. Mm-hmm. So he kind of was someone that was a very creative kind of singular artist. I don't think of necessity needed the approbation. It's also what, you know, numbers of people that like you. For some people, translates to lesser quality. We all know the idea that if you sell a lot, it's not a hard and fast rule, but a lot of people that sell a lot aren't necessarily the best artists. And conversely, there are artists who sell a lot who are very good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess the long short answer is that's a very complicated dynamic, and each person would experience it differently. And I think, you know, the, there are people who also, you know, make music that they want to, and it sells or doesn't sell. And there are those who, you know, make music because they, not necessarily because they want to, because it's what they feel is going to sell. So they make their compromises to whatever degree. Yeah. I want to say that, that Paul Simon song is very beautiful, and it maybe it reminded me of a documentary on the Statue of Liberty. I don't know if Ken Burns made it. It might have been one of his first documentaries. It was either that or the one on the Brooklyn Bridge, one, either one. And I think the documentary closed out with that song since it references the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
And it just brought back the memory of that.
Well, but, thank you. Yeah, and, you know, I think you make a good point because everybody's story is unique to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really interesting that I've found is that, you know, I've had, because of the work of interviewing people and meeting different people, I find that some of the greatest artists are not secure. You know, they really don't know for sure that they are appreciated for what they do. Some don't. And to me, that represents an even greater courage, in a sense, because they continue to produce based on what they believe in and what they feel called to do and what they're motivated to do, even though they might feel quite insecure about it and never really quite accept it. And even an artist like David Bowie, who was a commercial success in some ways, I can't imagine how much of the person we're missing in that commercial success. There must be so much about this human being that we never get to see or get to know. And part of that in this world of commercialism, and this is true with not just musicians, but authors, poets, even people who are into activism and politics, it's almost as if their talent becomes a mask to whom they are, because in order to create that talent, it takes them to such a raw and vulnerable place that they almost hide behind their talent, and you never really get to know them in a way. And so, and I think because of that, even though a person can be very, very successful, they suffer nevertheless.
Sure. And I also think that part of what made him special and exemplar as an artist was the fact that I think he was someone who desired to be private, and I think maybe that's part of what made his music special, that he was someone that was not only able to separate the private from the public life, he desired to separate them, and he was able to separate them. He didn't play into the media machine, and I guess he was of a generation where he was able to be left alone, you know, so he could go out, and he was kind of a chameleon type person anyway, so I'm sure he could disguise himself, and he didn't have a problem in that. He wasn't someone who sought gratuitous attention. So I think there's also some kind of, maybe it's the universe talking to people in an indirect way, it's not just the paparazzi, that when you don't seek attention for attention's sake, maybe there is something about the paparazzi not messing with you as much, and maybe that's part of what happened there, you know. But, let me say one more thing, I think it's funny how, you know, they're saying that people dying now, a lot of artists dying, that it's just pure randomness, and I would just ask, how can we know that? How can we know there isn't some kind of cyclic, you know, you can't prove that in a court of law, that there's some kind of cyclic thing going on, but it's just funny to me how people have this kind of, like, coming from people who come from a secular materialist point of view, thinking, oh, no, they can't be anything, you know, just because, just, in other words, that can't be just because I don't want to believe in it, which is kind of an absurd premise to take, you know. It's just like, well, and I'm not saying necessity that there is, but my point is, who knows that there isn't some kind of sickly thing going on where a certain amount of, for whatever reason, famous people are, you know, move into transition. We don't know. We can't know. I just leave it open to possibility.
Okay.
We really can't know. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And let's see, we have another caller standing by. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, thank you.
Good morning.
Yeah. Yes, I listened to your program, and it sounds to be very interesting.
Thank you.
You are somewhat metaphysical?
Yes.
Yeah, well, these great artists and actors and actresses, they depend upon the public to keep them motivated, because they do not know themselves. And as the writer says, the Bible said it too, man know thyself. When you know yourself from within yourself, then you're comfortable with yourself, you're comfortable living in yourself. Because what you have within, then you're going to put it without. And if you do not know yourself from within, and know yourself from without, that is a physical part of your truth today, then you depend upon something else to motivate you.
You know, I understand what you're saying, and I think that a lot of people fall into the category of seeking
solace.
Yes, solace or some kind of affirmation or approval from outside of themselves. And I think that there are a lot of people in the performance world who live for the adulation, and inside might be quite empty, and they are only fulfilled from what is going on outside of them. But I also think there's an equal number, at least, well, maybe not equal, but there are many artists, I would say equal number, it's just that most artists who live from their inner truth don't make it to stardom, because there's a process of, you know, sort of answering whatever the call might be from the outside. So if it's titillating, they'll be titillating. If it's violent, they'll be violent. If it, whatever is called for, then they'll engage in that activity either in their acting or their music, because they're looking for the adoration. So that is true. However, but some of the artists, I think, that we're referring today are of the opposite ilk, and they're people who may be sacrificing what could be extreme wealth and fame because they want to be true to their art and true to their inner being. So I think that it could go either way for artists, for famous people, as well as for the average guy and gal like you and me.
Well, the point that is, I studied deeply. I studied humanity, and I studied as a physics, and the seven laws of man are some principles of man, and when you know those principles and you apply those principles, then you are in charge of yourself.
Okay.
And now this is what I noticed. There is a lot of these talk shows have a program, The Makeover. And I tap into that makeover, and they try to makeover themselves, and they try to do all sorts with themselves. They have Botox lips. The arm, the buttocks, and all this, they're not satisfied with the real self.
I think that there's truth to that, but, you know, there's two ways that you can look at that, that these people are just not satisfied with themselves. But when I see people like that, I think of them as being lost, you know, in a way, like if somebody is blind and lost in a tunnel. And so I try to have compassion rather than...
They're in darkness. They're in total darkness. Because to know yourself is to accept yourself. And if you don't accept yourself, you don't know yourself. Therefore, when you know yourself and you accept yourself, then you grow to accept others. Because you have seen that you are in the circle together. There are no outside. All in. And all is, and all will be ever be in all. Because that's what the absolute is. All and nothing else but all.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for adding to our show.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we're getting close to the bewitching hour. So let's play Lucinda Williams, Are You All Right?
Are you all right? All of a sudden you went away. Are you all right? I hope you come back around someday. Are you all right? I haven't seen you in a real long time. Are you all right? Could you give me some kind of sign? Are you alright? I looked around me and you were gone. Are you alright? I feel like there must be something wrong. Are you alright? 'Cause it seems like you disappeared. Are you alright? 'Cause I've been feeling a little scared. Are you alright? Are you sleeping through the night? Do you have someone to hold you tight? Do you have someone to hang out with? Do you have someone to hug and kiss you? Hug and kiss you? Hug and kiss you? Are you been bothering you? Are you alright? I wish you'd give me a little clue. Are you alright? Is there something you wanna say? Are you alright? Just tell me that you're okay. Are you alright? 'Cause you took off without a word. Are you alright? You flew away like a little bird. Are you alright? Is there anything I can do? Are you alright? 'Cause I need to hear from you. Are you alright? Are you sleeping through the night? Do you have someone to hold you tight? Do you have someone to hang out with? Do you have someone to hug and kiss you? Hug and kiss you? Hug and kiss you? Are you alright?
Lucinda Williams, Are You All Right? And I've been thinking, we've been talking about the earlier question about energy and wanting to feel more. And really, music is a vehicle for that. Because if you surrender to the words and allow them to sink into you, and allow yourself to feel the vulnerability that's expressed in the lyrics, like this song, Are You All Right?
And the rhythm.
And so you can fall into that feeling of, am I all right? Maybe you're not, you know? And in order to be in contact with our feelings, it requires a level of honesty. And it's okay not to be all right, because you can get through that. It's when you deny the truth of where you are that you become blocked and stuck, and it becomes much harder to move through to the next phase. So part of being able to feel is being honest, at least with self. And that's a big part of it. And also, it's a recognition that we are much more than our physical being. We grow up in a world that values the physical, the three-dimensional body, and the perhaps fourth-dimensional mind. But when we begin to understand that we have much greater capacity than that to express and to be, then we can begin to seep into that exploration, and that's really what energy, vibrational expression is about. It's a feeling, it's a healing process, but it's also, love can be thought of as a vibrational energy. It's something that's not just thought, it's something that's felt. It's something that it's experienced in your aura, in your field, in your body. So we can talk more about that later, but the first step in feeling more deeply is to be willing to be honest, and is to have the courage to hurt. Because very often, to get to that space, that deep space inside of you that is capable of absolute radiance and bliss and unconditional love, not for the world necessarily, but where you can love yourself. That's when you come into true mastery. When there's no excuses, no distractions, and you can love your own being as you would love a lover, as you would love your God, as you would love a child. When you can love yourself in that fashion, then you have become a master of your feelings. We're going to finish up with The Salt of the Earth by Rotary Connection. And I want to thank Paulette Spencer, who co-hosts this program, is also quite the music director. So thank you for the music you brought in
most
today.
Most welcome.
Here we go. And stay tuned. Coming up will be Hour of the Wolf with Jim Freund. And then stay tuned even further for Lister. We'll be in for Burn, Baby Burn. Stay tuned.
Thank you. Well, that doesn't change the fact that you're tuned to listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio, broadcasting at 99.5. Oh, there's more music. I'm going to leave that on in the background and let you listen to that. This is Freedom Cry by Deep Forest.
Ти бояк одишит лет лава. Коран гретял, тогда киты козыгра. We'll be right back.
and good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and, yes, the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. With us this morning, teacher, writer, cool person, Carlos Hernandez. And a movie review and stuff. Stay tuned.
I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. The conceit of the new comedy Moonwalkers is that, in the summer of 1969, a CIA operative, played by Ron Perlman, travels to London to recruit Stanley Kubrick to stage a fake moon landing. This is based on an actual conspiracy theory, by the way. A dumb conspiracy theory, but a real one, nevertheless. Through an unconvincing series of mishaps, the agent winds up partnering with a failed rock manager played by Rupert Grint and hiring a group of stoned-out hippies to pull off the scam. Here's the problem with that. If you're planning on filming a satirical comedy, it's probably best not to invoke the name of the director of one of the greatest satirical films of all time, that name being Kubrick, of course, that film being Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Not unless you can really bring it. And director Antoine Bardou-Jacquet, sorry, cannot. Bardou-Jacquet seems to realize this. The Kubrick aspect lasts only as long as it takes to get Perlman's agent to the hippie compound. There are sporadic attempts to visually reference such films as Dr. Strangelove and A Clockwork Orange, but that's as committed as the film gets. There's no real attempt to try to imagine the full implications of the scenario. Then it's dropped completely. Even when you think an acid trip sequence might lend itself to quoting 2001 A Space Odyssey or the invasion of armed CIA agents on British soil, mind, might invite some nods to Full Metal Jacket or Dr. Strangelove again. That's a disappointment, because the idea of Kubrick faking the moon landing or of a group of con artists scamming the U.S. into thinking Kubrick is directing the moon landing could lend itself to some supreme farce, giving Kubrick's notoriety the same notoriety that makes it patently ridiculous that he'd ever participate in such a scam. Given that time of Nixonian paranoia, there are lots of comedic opportunities there. Doesn't happen with Moonwalkers. Mired as it is in cliché, talented as Perlman is, there's only so much he can do with a character whose primary beat is to be approached by some guy asked, "Who the hell are you?" and respond by punching him square in the face. And as unambitious as the film is in its comedy, best laugh happens when Perlman, recovering from a drug trip and facing imminent failure of his plan, declares, "Not on my watch," glances at his wrist and says, "Where the hell's my watch?" That's as good as it gets. Director Bardou-Jacquet does make that acid trip visually distinctive. I doubt anyone ever taking acid has seen a giant spider composed of other smaller spiders, but it is a cool image. But overall, Moonwalker takes an intriguing invitation to comedy and does little with it. By the way, more successful in its out-there sensibilities, even if it isn't really genre, is the Brazilian action film Two Rabbits. This is another amped-up, Tarantino-esque exercise about a low-level hood who stages the robbery of a crime boss, both as an act of revenge and redemption. And while director Afonso Poyar's energetic helming can cause problems, among other things, the fractured timeline tends to obscure as often as it illuminates, it is still a frenetic and fun reworking of the heist film. But instead of that, maybe you just want to spend some time catching up on the Oscar nominees. My life being what it is, I haven't seen any of the non-genre Best Picture nominees, but I do hope to catch up at least to The Big Short and maybe The Revenant. I've been hearing a lot about that for months now. Of the two genre nominees for Best Picture, The Martian isn't too much of a surprise. It's epic, it's uplifting, and it admittedly has a spectacular closing sequence. As for Mad Max Fury Road, I had problems with the film, I did with Martian as well, but I have to say I'm happy to see something so idiosyncratic and energetic on the list. That's a surprise in a pleasant way. I don't think either one stands much chance of taking the gold. It appears The Revenant is in the best position for that. But of the two, if I had to choose, I'd say The Martian is more likely. But don't go betting on it, just on my word. The bigger surprise comes in the animated feature category, which in past years has tended to weight in favor of big studio releases, whether they deserved it or not. But this year only gives that nod to Pixar's Inside Out, with the other slots going to more exotic offerings, ranging from the still somewhat mainstream Shaun the Sheep movie out of Aardman Animation, and thence to Studio Ghibli's Ghost Story When Marnie Was There, the heartbreaking Brazilian film Boy and the World, and Charlie Kaufman's radical stop-motion character study Anomalisa. Shaun the Sheep is the only one I haven't seen. Of the others, When Marnie Was There was the most disappointing, Studio Ghibli just going through the motions, albeit lovely motions. Boy and the World and Anomalisa, however, are both well-deserving of the award. It's more than likely, though, that Inside Out is going to win, and no complaints there, it is a fantastic film. It is heartening to see the animation category resisting industry pressures and elevating more original efforts. This category is never a stranger to that, but it's just a stronger slate this year. And talk about daring. I should note that iconoclastic animator Don Hertzfeldt's latest animated short, the stone-faced dystopic comedy World of Tomorrow, has been nominated in Best Animated Short. I'd love to see him win, although he really should have taken it in 2001 for Rejected. But still, as they say, it's an honor to be nominated, isn't it? Okay, and just one more thing. Let me just say that the Special Effects Award should probably go to Ex Machina for its eerie realization of Alicia Vikander's see-through android body. But it will likely go to Star Wars Episode VII, The Force Awakens, because